Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by John Levine in the studio.
In studio.
And, of course, Talia Bronx.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to the show. And, hey, it's here. John's, like, doing, like, stuff with, like, acting and TV shit, commercial stuff. So he's here in from Atlanta.
Gang's all here.
And, again, he's all a fucking glow. Like, Elgin and I were making fun of him last week because he was all a glow because he's in a new town.
Uh-huh.
He's, like, having a new girl.
Right.
She's so fucking excited. He's like, you asked when he got here, right? He was like, You're like, how is Atlanta? He's like, oh, it's fucking great. You know, it's
exactly like that. Yeah.
Did I sound like a gay version of Dougie Almeida when
you
I said
threw
it?
Hands up by your chin. And
I did that right. I did jazz hands when I did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had
That's
more
fabulous.
Fun.
Fabulous.
You're just mad because Atlanta's got bigger tits than Fort Lauderdale.
Do they? Is that something you?
Atlanta's tits are huge.
Really?
And firm.
No, you can't say you felt any. How do you know?
No. Well, never mind. You didn't get the joke.
Okay.
You said Atlanta's my new girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And I was so I said Atlanta's got bigger tits.
I thought you meant like the women of Atlanta had bigger tits.
Yes, everyone in Atlanta has big firm tits.
I walk around with one of those like tape measures that the tailors use, and I just, excuse me, miss, can you come here for a second? I'm doing a survey. Yeah.
Just an experiment, yes. You know, between Florida and Georgia.
John's heard the expression, look up here, my eyes. My eyes are up here.
My eyes are up
here. I'm just seeing how big tits are in Atlanta.
Right. All my friends in Fort Lauderdale want to know.
Yeah. Just going to make this social comparison.
This
anyway,
is a very legitimate study. I'm
that's
guessing.
Right. Well, welcome. And, of course, you know, he's been having, it is a great scene. There's knights out there and stuff. And
it's a great city in general.
Yeah. And but here's, like, to me, the big difference is, again, the transition from a home to an apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, it's good and bad. I mean, there's you know, pluses and minuses to it. Like, you know, obviously it's less space,
right.
but it's just me still and the dog, so it's not like right. I needed a ton of right. space. But
you ever find yourself like getting up out of the couch and like walking around going, oh, you know, I wanted to walk over somewhere else and I can't go. I can't walk over
you know,
there
actually,
now. I can only walk into my room.
Surprisingly.
Like there's not enough
there's not a hallway to
tread.
Go. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, you can't hang out by the laundry room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, the one thing that, you know, so I've lived in a single family home for the last 6 years, you know, just
right.
by myself, me and the dog and at one point the cat. And so, you know, if the toilet flushed and I didn't do it, that was a big problem.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Right? Like my first night sleeping in Atlanta, in the morning, I'm like, what is that sound? Because I'm on the first floor, you know what I mean? Well,
right.
it's like the guy on the third floor flushing his toilet because the pipes go through,
oh, yeah.
you know, the
yeah.
walls and yeah, exactly.
You're not alone anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not alone anymore.
You're on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
But the Camden, you live in the Camden, right?
Yes, I do.
They have dog parks, right?
They do.
So
yeah.
that's perfect.
Yeah, it's great. They got a built-in dog park and
nice.
It's pet friendly. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
my friend lives in the one in Boca and they have like a really nice
yeah,
area.
It's all, yeah, most of these modern, you know, once the housing crisis fell apart, a lot of real estate developer said, hey, there's going to be a lot of
rentals,
need.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all these other apartment places went condo,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there's like going to be a complete shortage. So there's a lot of, you know, rush in the real estate market. These companies, you know, we used to deal with investment products like real estate trusts. That
sure.
you see, I'm like, you see this, I'm like, of course that's going to work.
Yeah, no.
What a great idea that is.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
luxury rentals, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's got, you know, and it's got all the amenities.
Got
it's,
granite,
got, it's got a gym.
Got modern,
it's got, yeah, mm-hmm. granite countertops
right.
and stainless steel appliances. And,
right.
And, you know, you got a gym and you got
and that's
a fire pit.
It's
and a
almost
business.
Like he's back in college. Like he's, you know, there's
yeah.
people walking around and hanging out and
exactly.
shit.
And it's a younger place. I mean, it's,
yeah.
it's young professionals. They're not college
yeah.
kids, but they're, you know, in their
right.
late 20s,
so
early 30s.
It's like being in a dorm again.
Yeah.
I feel like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. I'm Thornton Mellon. I'm the Thornton Mellon of Atlanta.
Hey, call me when you got no class.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, The Great Gatsby was great.
It was great. Yeah, that was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, good. That's nice.
Yeah.
And, I had an interesting, we had the, American Rock Bar show on Saturday.
Yes.
And, yes. I was supposed to go to that.
Yeah. You were supposed to do a guest spot, but you went to some Halloween party with your family.
No. My grandpa and I had switched dates from Saturday to Sunday. Uh-huh. I was supposed to help him clean out everything. Like,
I thought I saw photos
about
of you, like,
yeah, well, we were supposed to have it Saturday, and then he wants to spend the evening with his brother.
Right.
So now I'm left with no plans because I see on Facebook they had John go up.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'm not going to message Minda and be John, like, hey, saw your place,
John,
me, but
John, I don't. You want to rule on this? Does this did she go, fuck it, I don't know if I should post these Facebook things? Because you even put
I
that,
posted it myself.
I understood that you had to cancel your guest spot, which, again, it's only a guest spot, so it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you know.
I explained it to Minda because I wanted her to know, like, listen, he kind of switched things up on me. I saw you guys book John. My fiance was going out with his work friends, which they're all his work friends. So right. I'm like, all right, I'll tag along.
No, but they actually said, because I was playing golf with Minda on Friday, mm-hmm. and she and Perry was there, and Perry mentioned something about the show, and she's like, yeah, she's like, even if Talia's going to do it, she's like, still, we'll, you know, we'll do both of you.
Now, by the
so
way.
So it wasn't like so that's why she was like, just come,
either
and
way.
We'll put up both of you. So it
doesn't,
Well, I
felt like bad, like, messaging when I saw that they would put you up. I'm like, well, I'll just
So stay. How long did you stay the Saturday night?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Not very long.
Like, you see much of my set?
I saw your set. I thought you meant after the show.
Oh, no, no. Okay,
no, I saw you. I saw, I was there.
All right. So he witnessed this. Yeah. I was asking what happened. And have you ever seen this dude?
No, I'd never. And he had come up to me. I guess maybe Perry had met him before or something. Because he'd come up to me and asked me about some stuff about Atlanta. Like, he wanted to be doing more acting and that kind of stuff. So he was asking, and he's. I mean, I don't know him personally. It was the first time I ever met him, but he's a little off. Like, he just seemed a little off.
This guy
me.
Makes Chris Z look like a stable individual. Listen, as a local, but I'm serious. So I was telling her what happened. So, you know, we got a good crowd. Things are good. Ice, you know, I had friends there, and, you know, John goes up, you know, Minda goes up. Oh, so John goes up, does well. You know, Perry, he has a lot of friends there, you know, so he goes up, you know, the crowd's going great. I'm like, hey, it's starting to get to a good show. Everything's going great. And then, of course, when Perry gets off, a lot of his friends were back and forth to the bathrooms. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? And then I'm like, what, 3 minutes into my 5 minutes? I'm just basically getting started. And, you know, Perry and this dude are at the bar yakking it up, and they're talking and shit. And I go over and I said something like, Perry, what the fuck? You know, what's going on at the bar? And he's like, oh, this guy, you know. And then the dude speaks out, says something, like commenting about me and my act and this and that. And I'm like, is this guy? This guy's an open micer. This guy's going to be going up after the show as an open mic, and he's fucking
right.
Now he's commenting.
I mean, he was heckling. I mean, he was
like,
so Dougie was in the middle of his set when he was yelling out at you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're basically talking loud at the bar, him and Perry. And I said, what the fuck, you know? And the guy, he, you know, was talking his ear. You know, it was like, Perry. You know, I'm not blaming Perry, but, you know, it was like, he started patting his ass at me, and he started, you know, he was fucking, you know.
Yeah, he was like running up to the stage and like doing act outs of like showing his ass like he was going to moon the stage. And it was just, it was fucking.
He was like,
it was bizarre.
He was like, and I said, dude, and then I realized he's a comic. And I go, you're going to go, you're a fucking open mind comic, and you're sitting here doing this in the middle of my show. I said, are you fucking retarded? You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah, it was just, it was so strange. I mean, it was just, and Minda, you know, like went up to him and shut it down. She was like, dude, she's like, they're not here to see you. Like they were here to see him. They paid money to see
good
him.
For her,
you sit down and shut the fuck up, or you're out of here.
She,
you know?
No, yeah, she did the right thing. You weren't around. So yeah, she went over to him and she's stern, you know. Minda put the fear in somebody's heart. You know what I mean? She's got that look, you know. Fucking, she could. Oh, this person looks
she's
like
got a, like a pronounced voice. Too,
yeah,
like a very
exactly.
This is it. Yeah,
you know what I mean. She comes as close to a guy, you know, aside from, you know, Bruce Jenner. You know, she's
wow.
She's,
I hope Minda's not listening.
No, I mean, like in a persona. I mean, not, listen. I'm not talking about her looks or anything.
I don't mean that in a mean way. But, I don't mean to call her a dude in a mean way.
She's as close to a guy.
But she's a dude's chick. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? She's got similar.
She's very manly.
Not manly, but she's, you know, very domineering. She's got a lot of, you know, like she had brothers. Listen, don't twist this fucking thing.
I'm not twisting anything. I'm just watching you twist. That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm twisting. So. You know, she
Minda effectively it. Shut the guy up.
Yeah, she did, and he did. Now, everything's done. So after the show, when I get done, he comes, he says, hey, puts his hand out. I'm like, yeah, and I shake his hand. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, but I'm an athlete like you and I have a tendency. I go, dude, you're a fucking asshole. I go, I said,
I'm an athlete like you.
I don't know what the
No, he didn't say athlete. He said, I'm a hothead like you.
Did he say a hothead?
That's what he said, hothead. He's like,
what, you were there when he was, I was next to him when I came off stage?
I was standing right there, right, dude. I was like standing right in between you.
So, and I was basically like, what, you know, you're fucking mental, you know, what the hell, whatever, get the fuck, you know.
Is he trying to like level with you? Like,
he was basically what I felt. He was trying to tell me why I should accept him being a complete fucking moron.
Well, he did apologize. I'm not defending, but he did start with saying, I apologize. I'm a hothead just like you. And that's why I kind of got, you were egging me on. And that's why I got into it. Not that it's, you know, excusable. Right, so, and you deserve to get into
so,
a face.
Right, so based on your observation, would you consider his apology an authentic apology?
Yeah, I think he authentically...
Really? You would consider that an authentic apology when somebody says, hey, listen, I'm sorry what I did, but I'm like this because I'm like you,
why... I think he meant to apologize sincerely. Now, if it didn't come off that way, I don't think he was, like, lying about his apology.
That's interesting how you can basically take somebody's words and then also automatically say to that, so I really thought they were going to apologize, when in fact... they had the opportunity to do that, and their words clearly justify that they didn't have any intention to apologize. But what they wanted to do was to basically come up to me and say, hey, this is what I do. I'm sorry, but this is the way I am, and you have to accept that.
No, I don't. I think he was just explaining why he did it. Yeah, that's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, but that's not an apology. No,
but he started with, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you what I would have done as a professional, as a comic, if that had happened for some reason, I would doing that to you. Hey, man, I'm so sorry that just happened. I don't know what the fuck got into me. I'm really apologize. You know, I was fucked up. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be. I've been drinking. My girlfriend pissed me off. This fucking hooker just took $100 and didn't do anything.
I'm not defending him. I think why he told you those things was not to justify what he was doing. Was to explain to you why he did it.
Yeah, but that's where I come from. That's I don't want to hear it. Yeah.
You might want to hear it, but to me, I don't think that he was being like, "Yeah, dude, I'm sorry. Don't be so sensitive."
All right, so let me ask you a question. Was I harsh on him then, based on your...
No, that's what I'm saying. You were totally justified in what you did. I still would have gotten to his face because
need to accept his apology.
Right. Exactly.
Like, that's fine. But I think I agree that he was probably being genuine about it, but just. Fucked it up
right.
With explaining.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Didn't
yeah.
shut up.
Yeah,
right.
Like an insincere apology to me is like, yeah, man, I'm sorry, whatever. Just get over it. That's an insincere. But it's you don't mean the apology. Yeah, to me, he meant the apology. Might not have fucked it up.
One is a little more transparent
too much
than
pride.
The other. Well, whatever you call it, you know what I mean. I don't care. I think when it comes to that, again, this is all about character. Right. You know, that's a difference to me of someone really truling of character. You know, somebody who kind of does things, you know. That, you know, doesn't fall, like, when it comes to things like that. When you apologize, you apologize. Basically, the reason that's a big character thing is you're admitting something. Hey, I fucked up. And you're handling it. That means you can handle shit. That means you, you know, when things don't go well, you're not going to flip out like a fucking loon. You know what I mean?
I would know. I've never had to apologize, but.
All right. So, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it was just to me.
No, listen,
but you missed this. You weren't there. So
I was there.
No, I'm not. No, this the rest of the story.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So whatever.
Then he's blowing me in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I didn't accept that apology either.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, I had fun. What was fun about that night, and on the positive side of things, I got to do a lot of crowd work and do a lot of improv, make up shit, because it was kind of disruptive. I was sitting there on stage like, I can't. It was like really effective. Like, how the fuck can somebody be? You know what I mean? It was like like weird, and it kind of just cut the crowd. The timing was all. Everything just kind of to me what fell, and I had a little fun. I made up some shit, fuck with people, and we made a little fun out of it. But not, you know. So at the end of the night, they have the open mic. Now this guy goes up last, and there's about 8 people left. And when he gets up, there's one left in the crowd. They just kind of walked out on him the minute he started, and then he basically starts the set by just basically mentioning me right off the bat. Oh, Dougie's back there. He's going to probably heckle me the whole time and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure he's pissed off. He was doing jokes earlier about being a fat guy. He couldn't see his dick. I mean, I don't know.
So far, this is hilarious.
Yeah, and he's just going on and on with me. And then the one woman in the audience is like, why don't you tell me about you? You know, he's like, oh, I know, but now I'm off my game and I don't know what he's going to do. And, you know, and he just continues to make, then he makes fun of me. He's like, oh, he has a credit. This, you know, he's like, he needs to impress people. And it's just this thing. And I'm like, I shut up. I'm back there with my buddy Bob. We were hanging out, just having a beer. And I'm not going to say anything. What am I going to do? Yell out in his set?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get out there and scream shit in his set.
That would make you look so ridiculous.
I'd be a hypocrite, which is another way of judging true character. hypocritical things are very they really interfere with true
now,
character.
Now, were you thinking that when you were in that situation?
No, I don't need to, because of character, sure. It just comes natural.
Right.
You know, people say, what does it take to be cool? You don't ask questions like that. What does it take to be honest? These are just things you are or you're not, right? Wouldn't you think?
Sure.
Right. So it happened. So I'm sitting near my buddy Bob and watching this guy flame on stage. Dan was there, and then
right.
Mike Atchison got to see this guy who was actually filming it for him. And the whole time. So this ends, gets off stage, nervously walks by, and the kid's like, tall dude, right? He's like 6'2".
He was thin, lanky. Yeah, he was like a
I called him Ichabod Crane. I go, when he was on set, look, everybody, Ichabod.
You know what he looked like? Did you ever see the movie Charlie's Angels?
Yeah.
Remember Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Crispin Glover played the
whacked out dude.
The whacked out, like weird.
Smells the hair. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The lanky, kind of just odd. That's what right. That's totally yeah. who he reminded me
oh,
of.
Oh, creepy.
What role has that guy not had that was creepy and weird? It was Back to the Future. He was a creepy dad.
That's right. Yeah. He was the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a.
Yeah, it resembles. Even the way he dressed. He had a bow tie and, fucking.
Like skinny jeans on, sneakers with no socks.
And he walked around like a cartoon.
Cartoon.
I was thinking of a caricature, but cartoon. Yeah. He had this like.
Like a cartoon character.
So, right. So he's walking. He walks up. My buddy Bob's sitting there kind of between us. He walks up and starts saying, that nervous reaction. Like, hey.
But this is after he got off stage.
Yeah. And he comes up. But listen, I was up there and I go, look, dude, you got about 3 seconds to get the fuck out of my face before I throw you through a window. And my buddy Bob sat there and looked at him. Just looked up at him. Dan was standing there and the guy fucking skedaddled.
Hmm.
And that was it. And what is he going to do? Come up to me and apologize again for the second time? Why he wanted to go up there and start dissing me on stage again?
I think he just wanted to be your friend.
Well,
I was telling Doug earlier, it sounds like he's obsessed with Doug. Like, just constantly talking about him in his set and heckling him. And like, what is the fascination and like prodding at you?
Did he smell? Yeah. Did he smell your hair?
I got my hair so hot.
What if he shows up at Tavolino's dressed like you?
That would be funny. I would go to my car and get my gun. I would have to warn everybody. I'd have to get the gun.
I tried calling you.
Need a gun for that kid?
No.
Like,
well,
I could beat that kid up.
Well, you would. You'd have the fucking chance in hell if he had a gun on him. And then he's one of these wackadoos. He's like one of these fucking mental guys. Maybe he's like the guy in Charlie's Angels. He pulls out a fucking. He walks in with a cane. He pulls it out and it's a sword. And the guy comes at me. That'd be funny. That would be fighting with like the mic stand. It'd be like a fight scene. You're fighting. I'm fighting on a mic stand.
You really need to stop smoking pot. I mean, really, it's starting to build up in there.
It's like this is escalating very quickly.
I was going to say, you know how you clean out a bong with like a paper clip? You just kind of, a pipe.
Yeah.
You need to do that like in your ear. Just scrape all that shit out of it. You got a lot of residue scraping.
Yeah.
Is
that something you share with your new residents in Atlanta? Pick a lot of this up?
Learning
with Levine. That's right.
Bong residue.
Well, anyway, so to me it was, it's just, it's funny. And, you were there. So, I don't have to, say anything about the guy's a fucking douche.
No, he was, I think he's just so socially awkward too. He just didn't know.
Think
how
he's got Asperger's? You think he's got? He looks like he's got Asperger's.
No idea, but
just like a very specific type of autism.
Do you think he has congenital?
Well, you
he looks like he was.
You're very intuitive. Think he was really meaning to apologize. Was I harsh on Perry? Was I too harsh on Perry that night? You think?
Oh, when you said told Perry to shut the fuck up.
Is that what I said to him?
Yeah, well, yeah. You were like, shut the fuck up, Perry. No, I don't think. Does Perry think you were?
Well, he made a comment on Facebook with, like, hey, John did well, this and that, but didn't include me on that little post on Facebook.
Oh.
So it was like, Perry's a little bit like a woman at times, too. He's very, tough and everything, but if he gets a little upset, he'll. I was just wondering, that's why I'm asking you, was I harsh? When your friend. The feature.
I mean, he was talking to it. In fairness to Perry, that I don't think it wasn't really his fault because his buddy wouldn't shut the fuck up.
And I said that. It wasn't like I said Perry's just going,
he was trying to like, but I can't talk, dude.
Yeah,
like,
but,
he's trying to do that.
Yeah, listen, I know that. But again, Perry's not that, he's such a nice guy that he's not going to really be as definitive as, say, I would be in that situation. If you're on stage,
you wouldn't pull out your sword cane and cut the guy's hand off.
Listen,
just in case.
Yeah, pull out something.
Dougie's gonna have a microphone sword that comes out. Yeah. It's like a microphone stand sword.
I've been waiting this for this to happen.
Yeah. His microphone stand splits in half, and it's nunchucks, and he's start.
Yeah, my buddy, my buddy Kato helped me develop my new mic stand.
They're right.
You know, but
no,
I'm just saying because you know I just noticed he was, I thought maybe that, and I'm glad you were there, and I'm remembering that. But I just listen, if you're on stage and somebody comes up to me and starts talking, I'm saying, look, dude. I don't have, you know what I mean? Because the last thing you ever want to do would be as a comic at a show, sitting at the bar or somewhere inside, and somebody is fucking talking their ass off standing right next to you.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter, especially if the comic doesn't know you, they're going to look at you. You look like a guy with your thumb up your ass.
Right.
You know, I mean, so, you know, if you want that to happen.
Yeah, his friends were a little.
Well, to be honest, yeah, I was
a little chatty. I mean, those dudes got up four times during my set to walk in and out, and I only did 10 minutes.
Wow.
Now, I'm not good at math, but that's like once every like 16 minutes.
Yeah. So it was a little, you know.
No, it was, yeah. But
it's just not good comedy club etiquette. Just shut up. Well, watch the show.
You know, to say the least, it was a little frustrating, but nevertheless, it was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun night. I mean, I thought it was a great night. Everybody did well. I thought everybody had a good set, and the crowd was good. It was a good crowd. They were into it, you know, laughing. And
it was scary at first, and then just before the show started,
yeah, it filled up, yeah,
kind of filled up nicely. So, by the way, what didn't fill up was Florida's Funniest on Sunday night.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was horrible. Okay, it was just horrible.
Just the overall show.
It was just, well, everything was horrible. It's not a venue. There was like five or six people that went to the show.
Where was the venue exactly?
At the Red Bar in Brickell, which is Manny Garavito's room. He does it the first Tuesday, whatever it is. And it's good for open mic. You know, people show up.
Was it the upstairs part of the Red Bar?
No, it was the downstairs. Right there, that narrow little room there with the little stage.
Yeah.
And there was like five or six audience members, then, you know what I mean? And then,
so who was judging?
Renee and comedian Razor from Miami.
Who's comedian Razor?
I don't know if you ever met him. He's a comic. He's been around a while. Black guy. Oh. Maybe been around. So, and Ricky Cruz closed the show. And Fozzo went up. Fozzo, you know, got some. There was like, nobody got laughs. It was not going to happen.
How do you get laughs out of six people?
You know, it was
like doing a show at a DMV.
It was like having an air show in an aquarium.
Yeah, right.
It was like the worst fucking possible venue to the show. And you know, and of course, so we felt bad. By the way, Renee did say that, you know what, she felt bad because this was not an appropriate way to judge any type of thing. So they're gonna put together another show for those of us that show who didn't advance. They'll probably add a few more people. So
sweet.
If you're a local comic, you may be able to get a spot. You know, pay attention for that happening.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. So, you know, and again, my wife went, what the hell, what the fuck? And, you know, and I thought, listen, there's no crowd. You know, so
was
I just,
you like 4 minutes? Was
yeah.
That, yeah.
You know, so I made fun of the cord. Because the cord was real short, so I figured I didn't want to do any material. I was just like, look at the cord. It's like, you know, somebody went to Radio Shack and said, yeah, 4 foot's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, let's save $1.50.
And that didn't destroy the room?
It actually made me, the great thing was, it made people laugh because I wasn't doing material.
Right.
Everybody else, and then people would make comments about, this really sucks, you know.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. And, you know what I mean? And of course, and I just kind of held things through, and I'd basically tell jokes, and I would pause the same way I would if there would be normally laughter as there would be at that point,
right.
You know. And
then I said, "Touch her, I hardly know her."
You know.
All right, settle down.
Right. So Darius advanced, and there was a transgender person that went advanced, and
who's the transgender?
I never,
just a new person.
Yeah, I never kind of, you know. I want to say it looks like Bruce Jenner or what's her name again?
Caitlin.
And kind of, you know, they have a similar look. And Ryan Barrett.
Ryan moved through?
Yeah, it's everybody. Ryan, no, like,
no,
listen,
I was saying that like good. No, good for him is what I was saying.
No, and listen, I wouldn't want to have been a judge on that because what are you going to judge? Like,
do you think this transgender person realized it's easier being a female comedian and that's why they...
Listen.
Wow.
I mean, again, nobody did, you know, there was actually part of that act that I was like, holy fuck, you know. She dropped the N-bomb and everything. It was pretty strong.
Like
niggers and Jews and stuff like that. Yeah, it was awkward.
Was the
yeah.
transgender white?
Yes. Like,
wow.
Like Caitlyn Jenner, I mentioned.
That's right.
I didn't say fucking like Samuel L. Jackson in a wig. never mind. So, all right, here's what we're going
to
do.
I thought the Caitlyn Jenner referred to just the transgender
portion.
Not the ethnic.
I said,
right,
look,
I did
like
too.
Her, him, or it, whatever, you know.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I don't know, whatever
clearly
happens.
Yeah.
So, All right. So that, you know, so they're going to have another one. So that might be pretty cool. So stay tuned for that. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back and forget about top stories. Here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to basically do some things like grabbing my attention. You know how, like, supposedly Trump grabbed the pussy? Like, this thing about grabbing is pretty neat. Like, hey, I'm grabbing for something.
Right? I want to grope something. What
yeah,
the fuck?
No, but I want to keep it, you know, but, you know, but grabbing my attention. These are things that are grabbing my attention.
My being you.
Yes.
Okay.
And of course,
what do we do while
you're
grabbing your own attention?
Well, you could be, basically saying, "Hey, here's something to grab my attention."
I see.
So you know, if you, you know,
would have been good to like maybe give me some time to prepare for this, other than just, "Hey, guess what we're doing next?"
Well, you know,
come up with 10 things that grabbed your attention quick.
I'm gonna watch Doug grab his attention.
There's a certain level. I imagine some of these things you would all have also have already grabbed your guys' attention.
I see.
This isn't something that I just like pulled out of like a. Like a back of a Hustler magazine. I was reading stories.
Well,
you know?
you did open up with grabbing a pussy, so I don't know. But I'm going to sit over here and scratch my attention because my attention smells funny.
Well, first of all, I mean, imagine you guys don't, but the season premiere for Walking Dead.
I don't watch
never
Walking Dead.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I know
that.
Everyone's very
upset. I've never watched it, never seen an episode. We'll talk about that next. We'll talk about that next with our guests.
Obviously, I won't put that much time into it, but we, you know, especially with you fucking guys. The AT&T and Time Warner merger.
Yes. Yeah. $85 billion.
You know, this is and I'm very happy. I own Time Warner. So in the last week or two, you've seen
stock.
Yeah.
You don't actually own Time Warner. You own Time Warner.
Well, technically, I kind
of
do.
You own a piece of Time.
I have a stockholder.
Yes, you have a position.
It is a publicly owned company.
Correct.
So as a stockholder.
Yes. Well, you own equity in the
company. I don't own a
yes.
controlling interest.
Yes, there you go.
I have some fucking shares.
You are not CEO of Warner Cable.
So that's good news.
Equity, yes.
And the real question is will it go through? And that's it.
And we've established that Dougie's attention span is that big.
So when are we going to get the resin out of his ears?
Yeah. Oh, and of course, grabbing my attention. I couldn't be happier for a sport fan than the Cubbies, the Chicago Cubs sport fan, and even the Cleveland Indians.
Mike is from Chicago.
Yeah.
Got drunk, saw that they won against the Dodgers, immediately bought a ticket. He started crying and immediately bought it.
Yep. It's,
not crying, but you know. Excited.
He was crying.
It's very.
You were just like no. He was crying. Wait, he's my fiance. He wasn't crying. I think those were just like sweat coming off of his face because he was so happy.
No, right.
His eyes were sweating because he was so happy.
Well, that's exaggerated. Those are things that are grabbing my attention. We'll come back with some of that, and then we'll have Straight from the Headlines. We still kept that segment. You guys want to vote on that? We'll be right back.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
You know how the story goes? Did you ever hear this little Stone Temple Pilots here, John?
I believe I have, yes.
Yeah.
You're just staring into his eyes throughout your whole little dance that you're doing, and John is just sitting there like, okay.
This is awkward. Look, I've seen Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, I'm getting
and,
that way.
And I see a moth in the corner of this room.
You may not be far off, dude. I'm feeling a little fucking whack lately. You know, I'm like...
Pot.
No, I just cause maybe lack of. It's been a long time, and then, well, not until today, but, you know, so I just, you know, getting to that point, like, you know, like...
Like you're going to kill somebody and skin them and you know, then like, wear their skin?
I don't know about that, but I...
been watching American Horror Story, the second season, and like, do you watch it?
No.
Oh, that's exactly what it's all about, just a serial killer.
My wife likes that show.
That
I watch it. I was there in the hotel, you know, the lady from fucking Misery. American Horror Story.
Kathy Bates?
Yeah, she was on there.
Oh, yeah, season three. Yep.
Yeah,
Coven.
And then the transgender flip whacked out fucking psycho killer that was in the house with her, or the hotel.
Oh, I didn't see a hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so it was interesting. But by the way, speaking of just crazy, now I know you guys aren't Walking Dead fans, and I don't want to give away anything because somebody had a spoiler alert that they thought they were going to say something, but this was the big season opening after season. This is it. You know, somebody, they're all basically the scene, they're all lined up, all the group that's there, they're all sitting on their knees because they get caught by this guy who runs like almost an army of just vigilantes that go through, you know, the zombie-fested apocalyptic world, you know, gathering up shit and just, you know, like a warlord.
Okay.
Right? It'd be like a warlord. Right?
Got it.
Negan, I think his name is, and they have them all there, and they're all on their knees, and he's got this bat.
Oh, yeah, that was in the preview.
Right.
Yeah, so they played that during football. Well, they played during football,
you
say.
So you kind of know. So that was the big scene, and somebody got their fucking head bashed in, and nobody knew that whole season. So you're like, who was it?
Right.
So we found out. And, you know, I'm not going to be it, but if you haven't seen it, somebody definitely gets their head bashed in.
Well, right? I've seen posts on Facebook, and they're very angry. Like, people do not like that this person, I guess, got their head bashed in.
Right. That's or persons.
Ah, well.
Now,
that I don't know.
Yeah. That was a part of it that was, you know, not expected. But here's the thing, the image of it. You know, like, I remember the first time I saw Dawn of the Dead, right? It was a zombie movie back then. It was a really scary movie that came out. And
yeah.
Pretty graphic of zombies eating, you know, intestines and shit. And, you know, it was like a scene. It looked very real. It was like the dawning age of some real special effects were kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that, like Faces of Death. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
You know, there's certain images that you kind of get fixated in your mind. Right. You know? So I got to tell you, these scenes are pretty, you know, And I can only say that being, you know, I've seen things like happen in real life. You know, when I did a lot of the security detail work, you'd see fucked up shit happen. You know, you'd see somebody get hit with a fucking pipe and see what happens to the skull. You see that for, so it was kind of weird because it kind of stayed in my head. Like after watching it, it was like, you know, it's like I didn't get a good night's sleep. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like it really kind of
So have we learned not to watch scary movies when you're home alone? Is that what you're saying?
Hold my hand.
Is that what you're saying? where are we going with this?
I'm just saying, to me, it was fucking great.
It was a very impactful episode.
There were some people that said they weren't happy with the writing on it.
It grabbed your attention.
It was, I don't know if it, well.
Yes, it did.
It grabbed my attention.
Right, grabbed your attention.
And it, because it was so powerful of a sense of what happened. I mean, all right, let's say you're in this situation and somebody bashes your fucking head. You're sitting there and you're the one that gets chosen and all of a sudden, wham, the guy smacks you in the fucking head. And you're like, your head kind of looks like what, like a...
Nobody's choosing me, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, listen.
Too much fun to have around.
Yeah. All right, well, listen.
They never killed the jesters. They like to have...
Yeah, you're not very threatening. You can't even do 20 push-ups. So...
I'll do them right now.
Oh, yeah, wow.
All right.
I've been practicing.
Oh, really? He's making all the noise on the first floor. Hey, what are you doing down there? All right, so the guy... Ba-boom, crashed you in the fucking head.
Cracks me in the head, yeah.
Right now, the top of your head kind of looks like a deflated basketball a little bit, but you're still, like the brain, the body's not dead. It's still,
So I can see what's going on. Like I'm aware.
You're kind of still there, but you know your fucking head's ringing, and you're looking at somebody, and you're like, Dave, now what do you do there? Do you say something if you can?
Okay, I'm glad you looked at me too because I don't. What?
What do you do?
So
you're still alive, what do you do, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, put your.
Well, hold on. More really important, before I answer that, what am I wearing? Because that's important.
Don't try to be funny, John.
Well, this is such a ridiculous question.
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Well, first of all, how do I know if I'm barely. Conscious, right, I just got hit in the head with a spiked bat, right, and my head is deflated.
That's what I'm saying. You obviously,
so what am I going to say? Like, why'd you do that?
The person that just ruined your obviously just fucking. You
I
know.
Can see my house from
now.
Here.
All right, one of the person who got smacked.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, he got hit. Boom. You know, he hit the ground, got back up, and he goes and he basically says, you know, suck my balls. That was one of the things he said to the guy.
Right.
You know. And
yeah, this is also a TV show. I mean, that didn't really happen.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you're in that situation, I mean, nine times...
I'll better prepare something, just in case.
You should.
Get your little mic sword ready.
I got a little index card in my pocket, just in case getting hit in the head with a bat, say this.
John gets hit in the head, all of a sudden he pulls out a little index card from his fucking...
Little flow chart. Is it a man or a woman? Woman. Okay.
I'm prepared for this situation.
Is it a zombie apocalypse? Yes, yeah. Say this. No.
It was fucking brutal. And
so he said, suck my balls.
Yeah.
And, so do you know what you would say? That's why I feel this is where this is going. Like, you want me to ask you that?
I don't. My first thing was I wouldn't say anything if that happened to be that situation where you just got smacked in the fucking skull, and let's say you're still sitting there and you're in that moment where if I couldn't move, I wouldn't move. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and, you know, I'd probably start praying. I wouldn't, you know, at this point, I wouldn't even give a shit about anything. But if there's some way that I can get up and, you know, and
run away
and try to grab the bat from him, you know.
Oh, now you're going to fight back. Yeah. You're going to fight back after you get hit.
Well, yeah. I mean, fuck it. I'm dead now. What's the difference? Is he going to kill me? Yeah. Right. I mean, if I'm still capable of saying something or doing something, I would basically, you know, try to get the fuck up off. You know, you're not going to knock me out when I'm on my ground. You're going to kill me standing up, motherfucker.
Now, I'll be honest with you. Never having watched the show, but understanding that it's about like a zombie apocalypse and you know, these people are basically the last human surviving on Earth fighting these, whatever it is. If that happens and that takes place and I'm one of those people, I'm just killing myself with that. But you know what I mean? Like, what am I hanging out for?
You're going out. You're like taking the wuss way out. You're just
as opposed to what, living the rest of my existence running from zombies and starving. Damn it! You're right. I should take option B.
Yeah, that's only because you in your perceived mind, there's an end to it or no end to it, as opposed to someone with faith that says, you know what? There could be an end to that. I could survive this. I could, you know, there could be a fucking light at the end of this tunnel.
It could be.
There could, yeah,
or you could be 90 and still running from zombies.
Question.
How far? That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's like if you live to a nuclear war. Let's
do a great example of this. Okay, you remember the movie? I can't remember which one. It was one of the comets hit. It wasn't the one with Bruce Willis. It was the other one.
Deep Impact.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
With
Morgan Freeman when he was the president.
And that one chick, the reporter that went with her dad to the house on the beach.
Yeah.
And the big fucking, you know, the tidal surge is coming. You know, the ocean is hitting them. And they're hugging, right? You know, daddy, they're finally together and they die. It's very poetic, whatever. You know, it's very charming.
Not for the ocean.
No. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. You know, and they're dead instantly. That wall, right? You're dead. Yeah. I mean, there's no.
Okay.
Now, if you saw this coming and you had a gun in your hand, you know, would you rather just do it yourself? Or would you wait for the wall of fire, whatever this big massive thing is coming at you?
Oh, that I don't care. That doesn't matter.
Now, you wouldn't. So even then, you wouldn't be. Because wouldn't you feel bad if there was a God and committing suicide was like a mortal sin, and for some reason.
Oh, so that, okay.
I think in that situation he could make
I know you don't relate to that, but
no, that's what I'm saying. I didn't understand why there was a difference. But when you were giving me that situation, I didn't understand what the difference was. But now I understand why you're asking me that. Because
that's not why I'm asking. But
the point being is, there to you, there's a difference between those two: taking your own life or getting killed by that wall of water. Because
it could be a reason why I wouldn't want to do, as opposed to facing.
Well, right,
up
that's
as
what
a
I'm
challenge.
Saying. Like, I don't believe that. So
just like if I'm an apocalyptic thing, I'm not going to go and just kill myself. I'm gonna see what I could do to survive. I'm gonna be like that.
If there's a wave that's gonna just crash on you and you're probably gonna die instantly anyway, it doesn't really make a difference. But if you're spending the rest of your life running away from people trying to eat you, I'd probably kill myself in that situation.
Right, and not having any food and being in misery and never taking a shower again the rest of your life. And you know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna shoot myself. I can't wash my balls.
Well, I mean, can you imagine how bad those people smell?
There is
like the Renaissance and stuff. But like, did they only bathe?
But
think like, once
yeah,
a
but
year
they didn't
anyway?
Know any difference. See, that's the difference. Yeah. See, like right now, like imagine all of this. All of a sudden, this is gone, and you're sleeping outside, and you're freezing, and you're starving, and you're doing all those things. Like, and knowing what you can't.
What
I mean, like you're not. Right. It's not going to get any better. I mean, what's going to get better? You know.
Just pretend I'm naked and afraid.
So, well, that's my point. Yeah, I think the reason why that show has gotten so popular with so many other people, other than you guys, is that it kind of puts you in that situation. Like what would happen if there was a fucking meteor hit the Earth and it was like post-apocalyptic? You know what I mean? Would you really want to be there, you know, sucking in ash from the fucking crust of the Earth, you know, for the next 3 years and, you know, die a slow death?
Well, to me, there's a little bit different. So, like, if it's something where, you know, part of the Earth is destroyed because of something that happens, right? But we still have this, you know, society is still intact, and it's not like this kind of, you know, wasteland of you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, gangs running around and just, you know,
hold on a second. So if a meteor hit the Earth and there's like dust and shit for like a year, you think there's going to be like regular society at that point?
I don't think society would fall apart.
It does fall apart. All you got to do is we were here at Hurricane Wilma when no one had ice, started falling apart in certain areas, people trying to kill each other with ice. But I'm saying,
but I think that would be somewhat localized. Like, I think that would be localized.
No, I'm not saying that's not an Earth. That's just a situation. I'm talking like an event to the Earth, whether it's something like that.
Well, that's my point. Is I think it would depend on how big that is. If everything's gone and it's just like this wasteland and
the new movie with Tom Hanks, I guess in the eyes of it's called it's Apocalypse. Tom Hanks is the guy in Demons and Angels.
Oh, Inferno.
Yeah, Inferno, the new one that's coming out. Dante's Inferno. It's all about the release of a
virus. Yeah.
Virus
kills
that
everybody.
Kills
just a lot of
the
people.
Majority of people, because there's too many people on this earth.
Right.
Which is an Illuminati belief that
the
only way that you could control the resources of this world is if there was 500 million people. Or how many, was that?
In the world?
No, there's basically like the stones in Georgia where you live. There's these famous stones that they don't know who put there, but it basically is some of these rules. Like, this is the earth and... based on its resources, its maximum capacity. It's kind of like a fire sign.
This is in Georgia?
Georgia, yeah. There's something, I kind of remember. It's the stones, but they've been there for a long time, and it's an incredible structure that's made, and it basically has these things that there can't be over 500 million people on this earth for it to maintain and sustain itself. After that,
There's well over 500 million people.
Well, welcome to the fucking...
Yeah, but are we starving? I mean, are there resources we're missing?
But there is...
I just put gas in my car and went to the grocery store.
You're very ethnocentric. You can say that because you live in the plush condo or apartment in fucking Atlanta.
That plush Atlanta living.
down
here in Florida where you guys are starving and fighting with spears over shit.
As opposed to a large population of the earth, which is in Africa, which is in a large population of earth of... Australia and some areas where there's been drought now and shit. There's, so you don't know, man. This is, there's too many people. You got to admit there's too many people.
Well, but there isn't, because those people aren't starving because there's not enough resources. I mean, we pay people in this country not to grow food. So, I mean, there are resources that are just not utilized. So it's not a matter of
We're talking about America, which is one of the richest nations in the world. But of course, there's food and shit here.
No, but my point is that we could feed the people in Africa if we wanted to. I mean, we don't use 75% of
UPS,
the farmland that we
UPS
have.
Stopped fucking delivering.
Yeah,
UPS said we're not going to deliver any more of this fucking food.
It's good you should use that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the point being, see, the thing with like that Inferno, so like that's just killing all those people, right? That's really not touching like the infrastructure. I mean, there's still roads, there's still gas stations, there's still food store. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of dead people. You clean up those dead people, and we're
sweep
back to
up.
Where we were.
Let's
right,
back.
Yeah, exactly.
Less lines in Disney.
Right, exactly. You don't need a fast pass anymore. Right.
I-95 cleared up. All
save my money. No more Sun Pass.
No, actually, Sun Pass is now triple because there's not enough people to pay for the road.
Hey, honey, we're gonna go to the movies Friday night.
That's right.
8 o'clock.
That's what these people in Georgia didn't take into account when they wrote that sign. It's like, well, shit.
Right.
We've been splitting this 500 million ways. Now we gotta.
Okay, we got the numbers down. Everything's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way. That's
I would like to
work.
Buy an Apple, please. Sure, that'll be $87.
Ah, well. Grabbing our attention again to AT&T Time Warner deal. Again, stockholder big, love it. People are concerned about it. They think it's, will it happen? The real question is, will it happen? In an era of Bernie Sanders, and everybody's scared about big business
but those two companies make different products.
It's a vertical thing. It's not a horizontal.
Right.
They're not taking the real competition, it's almost like satellite radio when they were saying, hey, you guys are going to monopolize satellite radio. And they were like, no, we're not. Satellite radio has got to compete with iPods and Pandora and terrestrial radio and all this other kind of stuff. So it's not a monopoly if XM and Sirius happen to merge because they thought you're eliminating a competitor.
Right.
It's not really a competition. There's not an industry of the satellite radio. So that went through. They did well. Question here is, who are they competing with? Well, they're competing with Facebook. They're competing with,
AT&T?
Yeah. AT&T Time Warner. Basically, they need to compete against Google. Facebook.
Correct.
These are their real competitors.
Netflix.
Hulu.
And
Amazon.
Eventually,
if somebody monotizes YouTube,
Google is monetizing YouTube.
Well, it's in a much bigger sense. This thing could be a whole channel itself in a whole different manner than it is. That's something they're talking about. So that's their competition. My bet is it's going to get a thumbs up somehow.
Time Warner did the smart thing when they sold off things like their internet products, you know, like their cable internet, you know, so it's not like those things aren't coming on board. So it's not like AT&T yeah. has UVerse, you know, the Roadrunner, Time Warner's internet service and you know, DirecTV and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's like, well, like that's a good, great example. AT&T bought DirecTV.
Right.
Okay, so mm-hmm. that went through with right. no problem because it's not they're not taking competitor right. out of the market.
Right.
They're yeah. just becoming the competitor.
Absolutely. And again, I will probably hold my stock. I'm not giving advice. I'm just going to probably hold.
Yeah,
because you do own Time Warner.
Yeah, I do. I am. Right. I am.
Well, so, you know, the way they were talking about it the other day, which is, you know, it just kind of makes sense. Is like AT&T makes mobile devices, and Time Warner makes the content that people watch on their mobile devices.
Right.
So you know, it's peanut butter and jelly, basically.
Right.
Yeah. It's like so. The question is like Tesla when they want to buy Solar City. They want to buy.
Right.
Basically, they just want to buy the processing of storing these batteries.
Sure.
You know. All right, here's a story that grabbed my attention because, you know, I'm at that age where I used to love roller coasters. I would get on any, I was that guy, I don't give a shit, let's do it.
That's me right now. Is this bad? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do?
No, that's me right now, yeah.
So you ride anything?
Of course, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Fuck you.
All right, well, that's what I'm thinking. All right, so, all right.
I was waiting, I was like sitting here going, 3, 2,
yeah.
And then you were like, fuck you, what am I?
All right, so... All right, so in Disney, man dies after riding Walt Disney's World's Star Tours.
Oh, yeah, now, but that's the simulated one.
It has that, like, I went on the one, the Mission to the Moon or whatever
yeah,
it
yeah.
is.
Mission
and that,
Space.
They had to bring that thing down because some mm-hmm. people were fucking...
Getting sick.
Yeah, they were losing their mind on it. And I could tell you to a small extent that I went on that, it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, even the... I went on. We didn't. There's two you can go on. There's the one that's kind of tame,
mm-hmm.
and they said those of you who want to go ahead. You know, I think even sign a fucking waiver.
One is going the pussy version.
Yeah.
Go to the left.
Yeah, you fucking.
Now all the people on the right. Let's start laughing at the people on the left.
Exactly. Who's going to make that? So, you know, so, and I got to.
Dougie's like, I'd rather be sick than be laughing.
Yeah. Fucking, and it was, but it does fuck with your mind.
Throw
you
up
know,
as a
it, it
yeah,
can get well, you disoriented.
Well, the G-forces, yeah. So, like, where you're on a roller coaster and you actually have the speed, it's all of that same impact, except you're not really moving as much.
Yeah,
so the body's
your mind
extremely
doesn't know.
Disoriented. Right. Yeah.
Authorities say 67-year-old Tennessee tourist died after riding Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So,
what, did you have
I've
a heart attack?
Been on that.
Well, they said that reports the man had pre-existing heart condition.
Well, and it says right on the sign.
Every
yeah.
single ride, they have
so
a
this,
sign,
so
like,
so you're
warnings.
Saying, now, here goes back to our original story. What was that virus again? What this is about? It's
Inferno.
An Inferno. Here's a guy, survival of the fittest. Well, not so fittest. He's gone. You know, here's a guy, not so smart. He probably knows he's got a heart condition.
Yeah.
You would hope. And hey, I'll go on the fucking ride. You know, hey, I'm not a pussy. And he gets on there. And,
yeah, but here's the problem with that theory is that he's 67 years old. He's already passed on that stupidity. Killing him at 67,
yeah.
it's like the Terminator. Like, killing Sarah Connor in the future after she's already given birth to John Connor doesn't make any sense. Terminator's got to go back in time to kill it, like a retroactive abortion.
Yeah, you got to really go far back.
Right. So here's the key. We should have put that guy on Star Tours 15 years ago.
He's not doing
anything. And just completely eliminate that nest.
Right.
Yeah. Latest report included 5 other incidents of adults complaining of dizziness, stomach, and chest pain, and back pain of various rides in Disney.
They actually
ride simulator rides. It's very simple.
They stopped that ride. I went on like when it first opened. Right,
that one we're just talking about the Star Tour.
Yeah,
one?
Not the latest. I mean, they've redone it since I've been on it last. But when it first opened, when I was a kid, I mean, I was probably in my teens. We went to Disney and we were riding. My mother's not a big, she was not a big roller coaster person.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on it and they were doing the thing. And all of a sudden they stopped the ride and turned on the lights. And a woman came out and was like, went up to one guy and she's like, sir, we see that you're having a little discomfort. Like, do you want to get off? And he's like, yeah. Like, I want to get off. And the woman was like, does anyone else? And my mother's like, yeah, I'll get off. And got off. And then we rode, they turned it back on. We did the whole thing again. And
they started over again.
They started over again. Nice. And they were telling my mom, because she was asking her, she's like, how did you guys? She's like, oh, we monitor everyone on the ride. Like, we're watching for any signs of, you know, if anybody passes out, if there's any discomfort, if there's any.
Somebody's eyes roll back in
their
head.
Yeah, well, that's, seriously. So, and that's how they did that. I'll never forget that story. Yeah.
See, I won't do.
Wow,
like,
that's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, I've realized now with that stuff, it's like, that's why I'm not going to go to the park. Somebody says, hey, you want to go to the, no, I don't want to go to the park.
Why?
You know, I don't want to get on these rides. I'm not going to go to a park like that has all these rides and shit to do.
Yeah, but sadly, like, to me, Disney's not like a roller coaster place. Like Universal, like Islands of Adventure, that's like a roller coaster place. Like, right. Disney's got other stuff, you know what I mean? Like the Carousel of Progress, and it's got Epcot's got the big ball.
I actually love the Carousel.
So do I. I think that's a great
ride. We're talking about Disney.
This is the nerd in me.
It's the Hollywood Studios. So the Hollywood Studios is great. Well, I don't know if they have it anymore. The Indiana Jones adventure thing, the Stuntman show, they had the Jaws ride. They had,
you know. I know, but right. I hate sitting there when somebody says, hey, I want to go on the, because my wife doesn't like these rides. You know, she doesn't.
No, see, I'm not a roller coaster.
A lot of people don't like the simulator rides because it is like really intense on you.
Right. No, see, I like the simulator rides. I don't ride roller coasters.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't like heights. And that's the thing. To me, I know I'm on the ground. I'm not going up anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? With a roller coaster, it's like, oh, hey, look, you know, I can see the tip of Florida. You know what I mean? And then they plunge you 75 you know, stories.
Ugh, so what you're saying is if you can just, it's like having a bad dream. Once you can realize you're dreaming and it's not reality, you can almost say, okay, I can, it's like when you're drunk and you put your foot on the on the floor so you don't spin anymore. I don't know if you ever tried that when you're spinning.
Yeah, no.
When you're fucking drunk in bed.
I feel like I have.
You put your foot on the floor. Kind of, you can close your eyes, the place doesn't spin.
I think the difference being is like you're getting all of the same feelings and experiences that you would on a roller coaster without the height component, without that part of it. So if you took a...
You can't fall to your death.
Correct.
On a simulator.
Like, I'm not gonna fall out of a simulator.
But there's some, you know what I mean? Like, pretty mentally taxing. Then you're sitting there and you feel like you're flying at Mach speed, and all of a sudden you're feeling some of the pressure of that in a sense. And
I prefer roller coasters than the simulators, even though I'll do both because they'll ruin anything. But the simulators, they're like, it just puts a lot of like stress on your brain, I feel like. Like, you get off very disoriented, and I don't enjoy that feeling at all.
Well... Yeah, well, you guys make your own decisions.
I like simulated excitement.
Yeah.
In both my dating life and my roller coaster life.
Well, that's been what's been grabbing me.
It's been grabbing your attention.
That's right. And by next week, you guys, if you're interested, prepare your own What's Grabbing Me, because that's going to be our new segment, What's Been Grabbing Me.
We can come in and grab Dougie by the attention.
That's right, grab my attention. Hey, by the way, Ty's going to leave us now.
Yes.
She's got to go to another costume party or something.
Oh, my God.
And of course, John's joining. He'll stay here. He's here in the studio from Atlanta.
Damn it. I mean, great. Yes, I'll be here for another segment.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter. It's time for Straight for the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it.
Didn't we do that in the last segment?
No, that's just things that are grabbing me.
Oh.
Right? These are like, it doesn't have to be news. It could just say...
Oh, it'd just be anything.
Yeah, you could say, you know what, I'm really mad about the way I'm treated, you know, at the post office. You know what I mean?
That's the first thing you think of. When was the last time you were in a post office?
Actually, I was there about a week ago.
Hmm.
I actually had a...
Applying for a job?
I had to buy stamps. I was taking all the pictures of me down.
You know, they sell stamps at Publix. You know that.
I know, but
you can get it at the register.
But do they have all types of stamps?
What are you, like a numismatist? I mean, you need a specific type of stamp. Yeah. You can't just...
I'm really looking for a special stamp.
Yeah, what do you mean? What kind of stamps are you?
I mean, you know, I needed 70-cent stamps or something for whatever it was I had.
Oh, like specialty stamps. No, I think they just sell the forever stamps.
Right. I'm not mailing a letter. I was mailing out like these things for, you know, clients.
Yeah.
Actually, for prospects, they're like for people, anybody potentially interested in 401ks or have 401ks.
Mm.
It's some information, some recent things that they need to be aware of. You know, hopefully they'll say, hey, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. Let's call him. Nobody answers their mail anymore. And it's never good, by the way, when you have these leads that they'll say, hey, we'll give you, you know, these people are interested in this and that and this and that. You know, no one answers their home phone anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it's like one guy called me the other day. He's like, hey, we have this. I said, okay, how do I contact? You know, what's the best way? Oh, it's going to be all, you know, phone and a mail address. I'm like, I don't give a shit. It doesn't help me.
Right.
I'd rather stand on a corner somewhere with a sign, like a sandwich sign, sandwich board, saying, hey, this is what I do for a living. Come and, you know.
Right.
Come and do what let me show you what I do.
Though your business is interesting only because I don't know if I would believe, like, if I got a prospect, like an email from you. Do you know what I mean? Like, because that to me would seem almost, because there's so many email scams.
Right. You don't trust it.
I wouldn't trust it. Like, I would be apt to more trust something that did come in the mail.
Right. Well, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, because, like, I'm just thinking about when I just sold my house last month or earlier, whatever it was. And my realtor, the way I found my realtor is because she saw that my house was on Zillow, and she sent me a handwritten note. Just like a little stationery, like, hey, John, I saw you're selling your house. You know, my name is Ken, and I, you know, work in your neighborhood. You know, you should give me a call with their business card. And I was like, oh, she took the time out to write this note.
All right.
She seems like she's legit.
Right. And that's, I think, the personalization of it's nicer, too.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Here's our first story from straight from the headlines. Eli Manning denies yelling Trump as an audible in the game this Sunday.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, they were playing at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. In London, the London games. Yeah. Eli Manning says he wasn't using Donald Trump's name in order to signal an audible during the New York Giants' victory over the Los Angeles Rams.
He was saying, I got to take a dump.
Yeah, I'm not a chump. The Giants quarterback was caught by microphones yelling out something that sounded a lot like Trump ahead of a snap. Second quarter of the 17-10 win, the play was run up the middle. And it gained a yard, much like Trump's campaign.
No, they lost about 5.
They lost about a yard, yeah. Some on Twitter speculated that the call was a signal for blockers to form a wall for the ball carrier in reference to the Republican presidential nominee's name.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
You ever see like the names of those plays that like football teams have? It's like, you know, X3 pirate right banana, you know, ghost, you know, 42.
Right.
They have like, because they have like hundreds of them. So they have,
Yeah. You ever play football?
Like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like peewee football.
I played 1 year.
Yeah. I remember when I worked in Tampa at 98 Rock, my boss had a signed page of the Tampa Bay playbook from Sam Weish, the coach.
Right.
And it was cool. It was like a handwritten play from the playbook. It was pretty neat. It was a really neat thing. Yeah.
Here's the next story. Chile's president forgets to sign name at voting booth. And leaves behind her ID. They stole my identity. No, you left it.
Chile's president.
Santiago, Chilean president.
Oh, Chile. Like, I'm thinking Chile's like a restaurant, like the president of like the company.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, why would we care what the president of Chile's is doing?
Yeah, exactly. And that poor person. Chilean president. Imagine being the president of Chili's right now. You're like, oh, you got any ideas? No, let's just try another appetizer.
How about potato skins without sour cream?
That's right.
Yeah.
Chilean president Michelle Bachelet had a rocky go at voting at the nation's local elections on Sunday, having to return to the polls twice after leaving her ID behind and forgetting to sign her name. Bachelet was voting in the upper middle class Santiago neighborhood of La Reina.
Santiago.
What did I say?
Santiago.
Santiago.
It's Santiago. You said Santiago.
Wow.
Like San Diego, but you said Santiago.
Santiago.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if I did. That was really weird because I know the word pretty well. La Reina first forgot to grab her national identification card from poll workers after casting her vote. She retrieved the ID from the voting area and then walked outside and said, my bad.
She then got into the wrong limousine.
Then she mistakenly
she got into the back of a pickup truck, which she thought was the presidential limousine.
Exactly. She got on a rickshaw. You'd think these people would, A California woman carrying a human skull on stick prompts an investigation.
Yeah, I could see how that would prompt an investigation.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that skull? Don't worry about it.
I don't have to answer your questions.
In a related story, has anybody seen my kid?
Yeah. California woman carrying a human skull on a stick prompts an investigation. San Francisco, a woman in Sacramento, California, who this week carried a human skull on a stick through the streets, has prompted an investigation into the identity of the poor fucking skull.
The cops come up and say, hey, lady, where'd you get that stick?
Excuse me, ma'am, are you married? Yes. Is your husband around?
We talked to your husband?
Yes. Hold on a second.
He's
I'm all right.
He's on vacation?
Yeah. He's gone for a little while.
That's right. Does she pull a little trigger at the bottom of the stick and the mouth opens?
Like... Yes, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Sacramento police officer on Wednesday responded to 2900 block in Connie Drive after receiving reports of a woman walking down the street with a skull. When stopped by police, the woman said she was just a Jeff Dunham fan. What's his name, that comedian?
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, I thought you were thinking of Jeffrey Dahmer.
I kill you!
Yeah.
Sacramento police said when stopped by police, the woman led them nearby abandoned homeless camp where she found the skull. Police soon discovered a decomposed body in the vacant lot.
Is it? I wonder if it's illegal to have a skull.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're just auditioning for Shakespeare.
You got to get it from somewhere.
Right.
Right. So either you dug up a body.
Well, you're not supposed to, if there's a dead body, you're supposed to call authorities.
Well, that's my point. So either you dug up a dead body.
You interfere. You could get it. You'd be charged with interfering with a crime scene.
Something, yeah.
But if a crime wasn't committed, you'd say, just dead.
Yeah. I just found it. Where'd you get that skull?
That's right.
I found it. The guy was dead when I got
Finders keepers.
Yeah. I got a thumb, too.
Yeah. I use that every once in a while when I pick my nose. Right. Detectives have not released the name of the woman who was in possession of the skull, and she has not been charged with anything at this time, the police department said. Foul play has not been determined. Therefore, we are awaiting a Sacramento County coroner's report to find out what Quincy says.
What's interesting is she not only took the skull, but she took the time to put it on a stick.
Right. I find a nice stick for this.
Right. This thing would look great on a stick. But where the hell am I going to get a stick?
Gonyo, I got to find a stick.
In Sacramento at this time of night.
I have a pump from Leaf. Will that work?
Hey, anybody got a stick?
This is too small. This is a popsicle stick.
Then we need bigger stick.
I need a bigger stick.
Bigger stick. I need a broom handle. Where can we find that?
Texas man wanted to kill his ex-wife, so he murdered her family to use their funeral as bait.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to go for committing murders.
Well, you don't commit a murder, you might as well do a bunch of them, but it is kind of a good plan because you know she's going to come to the funeral.
It's kind of like saying, listen, I'm going to get one prostitute, I might as well get five. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it big.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's different, but I'm just saying, when you think to yourself, if I'm, because prostitution is committing a crime, murder is a crime.
They're pretty close. I mean, it depends on what you do with the prostitute afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, everybody's got to deal with their shit.
That's like saying, I wanted Billy to come out and play, so I set his house on fire.
Yeah, that's right. Billy wouldn't come out and play tag, so I lit his house on fire. I have an excuse. Yeah. Samuel Velasco, day in court, was coming, and after years of delays, there was a little blah, 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 stop it. He was accused in 2005 of molesting his 4-year-old stepdaughter.
Mm, nice guy.
Who had told her mother about the abuse. The girl was too young to testify, so the only witness for prosecutors was the mother. Velasco's now ex-wife, Ruth Segredo. Velasco's attorneys had succeeded in getting the case continued 7 times. How the fuck does that happen based on what happened? The girl was too young, blah, blah, blah. Segredo's was very adamant about getting Velasco prosecuted and have him pay for what he had did. Child's father, Eduardo Velasco, told the news, blah, blah, blah. So weeks before the trial, Velasco and his siblings sat around, blah, blah, blah. What the fuck? I hate these long stories.
Yeah, get to the good stuff.
You know?
Get to the point where Velasco's walking around with a skull and a stick.
Yeah. Come on. Can't they keep it simple?
That's what sells newspapers. Skulls, yeah. Sticks.
Well,
anyway, long story short, he kills the family. She comes to the funeral.
Fucked up,
right?
It's messed up.
It's a pretty smart plan. I like it.
Yeah,
I
just killed the family.
It's bold. It's a bold move.
I'm gonna kill everybody, and then when everybody's hanging out, then I'm gonna shoot everybody when they show up to the funeral.
Right.
That's my big plan. I could just have a special announcement. Say, hey, we're gonna have everybody come by. We got a special announcement.
Right.
You know. Why are we going? Nobody died. I don't have to go.
I got a pinata.
Yeah. I got a Trump pinata. Everybody got a big Trump pinata. I got big surprise. I got cocaine in it. Well, here's a thief that's really not hurt. Do you think there could be a crime that really doesn't hurt somebody?
A victimless crime?
Yes.
Hmm.
Is there such thing? Is there such thing as a victimless crime?
I don't know. That's a good question.
If you got
suicide, I would think would be a victimless crime.
Well,
I would say you're the victim, but you're dead.
Yeah, but so, then you're also you can be leaving children behind. You could be leaving a loved one behind.
No, I know, but let's say you got nobody.
Yeah. Well, then
I don't know. I'm just saying it is.
If you really fucking deserve to die, you should be able to. Yeah, the government should start handing out pills, like, for people to say, look, if you had enough, you think the government will eventually do that, like, in a way of controlling health costs? You think the government's eventually going to say, okay, listen,
no, but I could see, know, I, but
here's
I can,
our Kevorkian pill.
I can see assisted suicide being made more readily available.
Yeah, like, in other words, these people that are on pump machines in the hospital for $300,000 a day.
Listen, we have basically, I mean, it's not assisted suicide, but we have hospice care. I mean, hospice care is like, hey, there's nothing we can do. We're just going to make you comfortable.
Heroin.
And, and yeah, I mean, we're just
going to give you heroin every 2 hours.
And that's basically what they're doing.
Clean the mucus out of their passageways.
Listen, I went through that. So, I mean, I've seen it. So, but to me, it's like, all right, well, if you're going to go through that and do it for 6 months, why not just say, hey,
here,
you know,
take this pill.
This is the inevitable. You know what I mean? Like make it easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, here's a guy. This is kind of, I don't know, a bandit with taste for fancy cookies. Espresso was nabbed. Stanford, Connecticut. Police say a bandit with a taste for espresso and fancy cookies. Hey, I swear it wasn't me. Has been nabbed because he asked an officer for directions to a Connecticut pastry shop. That's a good thing. If you're going to go rob a place, go ask a cop for directions. Stanford Police Lieutenant Thomas Barcello tells Stanford News that Donald Newman Smith, face was covered with a bandana when he robbed a convenience store on Monday, getting away with around $800.
So how was this victimless?
Police say investigators responding to a convenience store later when Newman Smith asked him how to get to the pastry shop. They say the investigator later recognized him as he watched the surveillance footage of the robbery. Officers went to shop and found Newman Smith sitting outside at the table with some espresso and some Pignoli cookies.
Hmm.
So I thought he stole the cookies. You know, it's like, okay, just bake some more. But it just turns out he robs some place, goes to a cop, says, hey, how do I get to this pastry place?
Right. Cops goes, you look really familiar.
Now, let me ask you a question, just as a way to, we just read the story. We don't know.
Sure.
I'm going to guess that the guy had a bit of an attitude. He thought, you know what? I just robbed this place, and I'm going to go to this cop now and ask him where I can, just kind of like a little way of saying.
Like throw it in his face?
Yeah, like, you know what? Fuck you know, kind of thing, pig. You know what I mean? I think he got a little, he could have just went to the
pastry. A little arrogant.
Yeah, he just could have got a navigation. You know, and somehow got free navigation on his phone. He could have went there and it would have been all over. And he'd probably be okay with his $800.
Either that or he's just that extraordinarily stupid.
Yeah. Again, another person that deserves what he gets.
I mean, there's that part. Or there's the part where he was calculated enough to think, well, if I talk to the cop's going to think there's no way I could have done it.
Because I look innocent. Why would a guy who's guilty of something come up to a cop and talk with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, cops think the complete opposite.
Cops think everyone's guilty until proven innocent.
If you go up to somebody, the cops start asking questions, they're going to start getting a little suspicious of they're being distracted. You know, somebody worked the security detail. Yeah. Somebody comes up like we were trained, like we would work in South Beach, or we'd have these party. So you'd like all of a sudden a beautiful woman's hitting on you. You know, it's stupid. You'd be like call it the Russian spy shit. Right. If all of a sudden somebody's really attractive, and the guy was like one time was like, well, some of you guys, you should be really shocked. You know what I mean? If somebody, they're distracting you, and
right.
And my job was like I was like a sleeper. I would watch things. I couldn't be distracted. I was trying to take notes of everything going on in the fucking room. Here's a story. Nearly $10,000 in cash left in a shopping cart was returned to the owner. Now $10,000 in a shopping cart. I mean, who isn't walking around with $10,000 in a shopping cart?
Surprisingly, it's not as uncommon as you think.
You would think. Now, Senate, New York, you ever hear it?
Senate?
Yeah, Senate, S-E-N-N-E-T-T, Senate, New York. Nearly $10,000 in cash, as restaurant owner, that's what it says, nearly $10,000 in cash a restaurant owner left in a shopping cart at an upstate New York store has been returned thanks to a couple who found the money.
It was like in a bank bag, like he was taking it to the bank or something?
Yeah. Managers at the Tractor Supply Company store in Senate in the Finger Lakes region say the couple found around $9,800, may have been 10, in an envelope Monday morning, along with a checkbook. It said, the Citizen of Auburn reports the couple turned the envelope over to the store staff, did their shopping, and left without giving their names. A local restaurant owner called the store Monday saying she had put a week's worth of her restaurant's receipts in the envelope, mistakenly left it in the cart while shopping on Sunday evening. The woman, who didn't want her name to be released for obvious reasons, who leaves $98 or probably $10,000.
She said she was on her way to the stick store because she had just found a skull.
I got to find a stick. So $9,800.
Yeah.
I bet the people didn't even look. They probably just brought it back. That's like, why would you turn it back? Fuck, I didn't look.
I didn't even see.
I thought I saw $10,000. I'd beat the shit out of my wife. What the fuck you give that money back for? Do you ever do that? Do you ever find a wallet and return it?
Yep. Actually, fairly recently, I found a wallet in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Had a driver's license in it and nothing else, but I dropped it in the mailbox.
You feel good, and it's always nice when that happens. I remember the first time I experienced it, I was a kid. I found one in a parking lot, and it was like $40. It wasn't a lot, but it was a wallet. And I called and stuff. I told my dad. Got the thing and found out. And they're like, thanks. That was very honest of you. You know, it was that kind of thing. I was like, that's
you're
nice.
Sitting there with your hand out. Like, but don't I get a reward?
I think he gave me $20.
Yeah.
I think he gave me,
Well, he only had 40.
But I know my dad said, don't take it. I said, no, give it back to him. Because he only had 40, like whatever it was in there. And,
If you find a wallet and it's got an ID in it, if you drop it in any mailbox, they'll mail it back to the owner for free.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So leave it up to the honesty of the Postal Service. Not to take any cash out of that thing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of
shit. But you don't want to worry about it. In other words, I don't have time for this.
But how are you going to track the person? Well, you know what I mean? It might not have their phone number, just their address. You're not going to go to somebody's house.
Right.
But as a courtesy, if you drop if you find a wallet that's got an ID in it, you just drop it in any mailbox and the Postal Service.
Good solution.
Yeah.
Just drop it in somebody's mailbox and put the flag up.
No, not like that. Like in a post office box, like a blue.
Oh, like one you
like a mailbox, not like anybody's mailbox on the street.
Okay.
If you lick a stamp and just put it on the outside of the wallet and then leave it on a stoop,
Just call FedEx and say it's on a fucking...
No, like a post box.
Sitting on a parking block outside Taco Bell.
Not like the mailbox on your house.
That's right. All right. Well, drop it off in a U.S. Postal mailbox.
Right.
And they'll take care of it. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank John Levine for joining us here in the studio.
Always a pleasure.
And, of course, for Talia Browns for joining us for the first couple segments. That was
it's
nice.
It's been fun, Dougie.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And by the way, great week this week. We're going to have Elgin and Peter back tomorrow. And we're going to have, I think, the student I know, we have my buddy Phil Johnson, who's here this week at Tavolino's. He's our feature. Our headliner is Tim the Dairyman, Dairy Farmer Moffitt.
I've heard that guy's funny. I've never
seen
him.
Very funny guy. He's a very naturally funny guy. So that's this Wednesday night at Tavolino's. Just don't miss that show. And on Friday, by the way, I'm going to be at Winter Circle in Lakeland headlining the show. So that's a 9 o'clock show. Go to Winter Circle for that. How about you?
I think I'm going to go with, like, the Funky Buddha. Cool. You know, some open mics while I'm in town. I'm not doing any shows because I'm shooting that commercial.
Right,
so.
You're busy. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for that. Follow the show here on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on Twitter. And that's it. We'll be back tomorrow to say a different show.
Different show.
Different people.
Yeah, but same time.
They're going to be introduced to what's been grabbing me.
Grab my attention.
Grabbing my attention. Yeah.
You might want to get the segment right.
I'll get it right. You know, we'll come up. I'll let the boys in marketing work on it. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets. They travel to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. Came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child.
Nation.